1 Samuel chapter 17, looking at verse 34, and reading to 35. Just these two verses. 1 Samuel 17, 34. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and slew him. We might as well take this next verse too. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. Yes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you today for your word. I thank you today, God, that there is a word for every situation and every circumstance, every problem, every difficulty, every test, every fire, every trial of our life. There is a word. And there is a word in the house today for us, Lord, and I thank you, God. I thank you, Lord, for the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the quickening power of your Spirit today. Open our ears to hear, our eyes to see, Lord. And I thank you, God, that when we leave this place, we will leave knowing that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us and gave himself for us. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I came to this house today with a word in my spirit, and I came to tell somebody. Now, I've learned along the way that we're not all going through the same thing at the same time, and we don't all have the same needs at the same time. So maybe this is not your word today, but just kind of bear with us that need it. So I came to tell somebody in this house today that everything is not as it appears. I came to tell somebody who's been overwhelmed by their circumstances that there is more to this than meets the eye. I have to get somebody to shift today out of the natural into the supernatural. Out of the visible into the invisible. Out of the realm of the senses into the realm of faith. When they rolled away the stone from Lazarus' tomb, he wasn't a dead, decomposed corpse. He was a man with all of his fingers and toes and eyes and ears and hands and feet. And he was a man full of life, and he didn't even stink. Why? Because in the darkness of that tomb, behind that stone, where no human eye could see, the power of God was working. Resurrection life was moving, restoring, creating, and raising. The bad news said Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. His body is decomposed by now, and he stinketh. But the good news said, Lazarus is not dead. He's alive. You just need to roll the stone away so he can get out. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. So I just stopped by this morning with this word in my spirit. God said to tell you that the good news is the bad news was wrong. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, the good news is that the bad news was wrong. Somebody here today, you've heard the bad news. You've heard the doctor's report. You've heard the lawyer's report. You've heard the banker's report. You've heard the bad news, but I've got good news for you today, and it's the God news. And the God news is what God says about it. And the God news, the good news is the bad news was wrong. But to hear the God news, you have to tune in to the Faith Network. Hallelujah. Ilabasata, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You've got to see and understand today by faith the elders obtained a good report. Joshua and Caleb's report was a good report. Why was their report good? Because it was a faith report. It was based on what God had said. The other 10 spies brought back what the Bible calls an evil report. Why was it an evil report? All they did was say what they saw. No, it was evil because it contradicted the Word of God. I'm talking to somebody today in this house, you've heard an evil report. You've heard what your circumstances are saying, what your feelings are saying, what your enemies are saying, and sometimes what your friends even start saying. But Isaiah asked the question, my friend, and I hear the Holy Spirit posing that question to us today. Whose report will you believe? You have to make a choice. Whose report are you going to believe? In our text that I read to you today, David talks about a time when he was tending his father's flock. He said, one day a lion suddenly appeared and stole a lamb from the fold. Most people would have said at that point, I'll never see that lamb again. Most people would have just written it off as one of life's casualties, and they would have just said something like this, well, that lion got that one. Most people would have said, I better just stay here and protect what is left over. And that's what the devil, that's what that lion I'm talking about, that's what he was counting on. He was counting on the fact that David would just sit back and take his loss and be happy with his leftovers. But David wasn't like most people. David took it personally. He took it hard. It angered David that a lion would dare break into his fold, invade the safety of his fold that he had the oversight of, and steal from him. No doubt this lion, this devil I'm talking about, he had invaded many flocks before. He tore up many marriages, tore up ministries, killed dreams, stole hope, joy, and peace from many homes. No doubt this devil had carried sons and daughters off into drug addiction, homosexuality, and perversion. This is not the first flock he's invaded. It's not the first lamb he's stolen. And time after time, he left behind him a broken man, a broken woman, broken homes, and broken children. And from all natural aspect and appearances, this lion, this devil has succeeded again. But I want you to look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, this time it's going to be different. Oh yeah, this time it's going to be different. Instead of David sitting down and crying and saying, why me? Why did this have to happen to me? David refused to just write off his losses and settle for leftovers. Let me just stop right here today and tell you, some of you, you've been settling for leftovers. You say, what are you talking about, Pastor? Well, you're just happy to have something left over. Just thankful that the devil didn't take it all. Just satisfied to still be in your right mind. Just satisfied to have enough money to make ends meet. But I believe I'm talking to somebody in this house today that's sick and tired of leftovers. I believe somebody wants some milk and honey. I believe somebody believes that God wants to prosper you and God wants to bless you. I'm talking to somebody. Amen. If I'm talking to you, slap your neighbor, high five. Tell your neighbor, he's talking to me. That's me. I want more than leftovers. Yeah, I want more than leftovers. Now, David could have done like a lot of people. He could have settled down with his leftovers and said, look, I just lost one. I got 99 left. But thankfully, David, he wasn't like that. David had the shepherd's anointing. He had that kind that the good shepherd, the great shepherd had. He left the 99 and he went out searching until he found that one last sheep. Hallelujah. If I read my Bible right, David got up from the place he was, made sure his sheep were safe, and then the Bible says he went out and hunted down that lion, and when he found him, the lamb was still in his mouth. He was alive in his mouth. The Bible says he smote him. Whoa. He smote him and he took the lamb out of his mouth. Woo! Glory to God. He smote him and took the lamb. But then the Bible says that lion arose against him. Can I tell you something? You're not going to smite the devil without him getting his back up. You gotta go smite the devil without him rising up. But here's what happened. The Bible says he arose against him and David caught him by the beard. He said, I caught him by the beard and I slew him. I don't know if that means he was an old lion or if he just... Or that's just a beard of the lion. But anyway, he caught him by the beard and he slew him. Friend, listen. Every natural evidence would have told David, write off your losses. That lamb is history. No doubt his imagination probably was showing him a horrific death of this little lamb. But the truth was that lamb had not been torn to shreds by this lion's paws and this lion's teeth. This lamb was still alive and well. Somebody say alive and well. Now, when I read that story and when my mind began to meditate on that story, something began to leap on the inside of me, because I remembered and I was reminded of Jacob and how his sons brought Joseph's coat to him, his son Joseph, and they showed him a coat dipped in blood and they asked him, whose coat is this? Oh my God, I feel the Holy Ghost. Jacob saw the coat, he saw the blood, and his mind went crazy and his imagination went off the scale. And in Genesis 37 and 33, here's what it says. And he knew it, and he said, it is my son's coat. It, an evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. Now listen, my friend, watch what I'm saying. Listen to this word. For nearly 15 years, Jacob played the scene of Joseph's horrible death in his imagination. But, oh, my friend, Horashataya. Somebody lift your hands up for just a moment. Come on, just stir this atmosphere. I feel the Holy Ghost is doing something in this house today. Somebody's going to get a breakthrough in this house today. Somebody's going to get a faith lift today. Somebody's going to get a new perspective today. Now listen, for nearly 15 years, Jacob had played the horrible scene of Joseph's death being rent in two and rent in pieces by a wild animal. But the truth is, Jacob was wrong. Joseph was not dead. Joseph was alive. Somebody say, he's still alive.
He's still alive.
Now watch, friend, watch this. Jacob looked at the evidence in front of him, and based on the evidence in front of him, he wrote the rest of the story. Oh, whoo, Shabtabahai. I'm going to tell somebody today, you cannot judge a book by one chapter. You can't look at one chapter of my life and write my story. No one has the right to write my story. Look at your neighbor and say, you can't write my story. You can't write my story. In the book of Acts chapter 3, verses 2 through 6, in verses 2 through 6, there was a lame man. He was a beggar. He had never walked. He was a burden on society. But in verse 8, he was walking and leaping and praising God. Watch. In verses 9 and 10, the Bible says, and all the people saw him walking and praising God. Verse 10, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Now listen to me, friend. This chapter of your life, this chapter of my life, it may look rough. Things might not look too good. I may have even slipped a couple of times. I might have had to cry myself to sleep. But friend, don't judge me yet. Oh. Don't write me off. Don't finish my story because of a bad chapter. Because in my next chapter, I'm going to be amazing. Hallelujah. In my next chapter, people are going to look at me in wonder and amazement. Oh, look at somebody and tell them, friend, I'm amazing. Yeah. I'm amazing. I'm amazing. I'm amazing the devil who said I wasn't going to make it. I'm amazing the devil who said you're going to die. You're not going to live through that. I'm amazing the devil. I'm amazing people who said you'll be just like your daddy. You'll be just like your grandpa. You'll be just like your uncle. You're going to die an alcoholic or you'll end up in prison serving a life term. I'm just amazing. Look at somebody. Tell them, I told you I'm amazing. I'm amazing. Hallelujah. Y'all just look in the mirror and say, I'm amazing. I'm amazing. Now look at your neighbor and say, I'm a wonder. Now some people are going to look at you and wonder how you made it. You say, of all the people I never expected them, of all the people that I believe God would call to preach, it never would have been him. Never would have been her. Yeah, I'm a wonder. I'm a wonder. Jacob looked at the evidence. He wrote Joseph off. Watch this, friend. He wrote off his son. Mentally, emotionally, He wrote him off. But while Jacob was grieving over Joseph's death, Joseph was ruling over Egypt. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I've got some good news for you. The good news is the bad news was wrong. See, while Jacob was grieving over Joseph's horrible death, Joseph was over in Egypt ruling as a prince. What are you saying? I'm telling you, the bad news said you're going to die, but the good news said you shall live and not die. The bad news said you're going to lose your mind, but the good news said thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. The bad news said the lamb is gone, the marriage is dead, that son or that daughter is a hopeless case. The bad news said you'll never see your dreams fulfilled, you'll never have the ministry you've envisioned, but the good news is the bad news was wrong, because Lazarus is not dead. Lazarus is alive, just waiting for you to get the rock out of the way. Joseph was not dead. He was ruling in Egypt. And the lamb was not dead. It was still alive. Oh, my friend, I know it was the devil's intention to kill Joseph. It was the devil's intention to kill that lamb. And the grave never intended to let Lazarus go. But God, somebody say, but God. But God wouldn't let the devil have the last word. Yeah, God wouldn't let he wouldn't let the grave have the last word. He wouldn't let that lion have the last word. He wouldn't even let Joseph's mean, angry brothers have the last word. The good news is the bad news was wrong. Somebody bless him in this house. Thank you for the good news today. Hallelujah. 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 Sometimes God closes the lion's mouth and he can't get it open. Talk to me, Daniel, in the lion's den. God gave them lion's lockjaw. Sometimes he closes the lion's mouth and they can't get it open. And sometimes he holds it open and he can't close it. Oh, to tell somebody like Jacob, you've been looking at the evidence in front of you. All the evidence like Jacob, it's screaming disaster. It's screaming death. It's screaming hopeless. It's saying just write off your losses and settle for the leftovers. But as I said, I know somebody is sick and tired of leftovers, sick and tired of settling for an anthill when God has promised you the mountain. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I want my mountain. That's what Caleb said. Caleb, you're 85 years old. Why don't you just settle down in the valley with a rocking chair? He said, no. I want my mountain. Well, yes, but here's what I came to tell you today. I just stopped by to tell you today the evidence is misleading. Yes, friend, it was Joseph's coat. And yes, it was covered in blood. But it was not rent by a wild beast. It was mean brothers. And it was not Joseph's blood. Woo, hallelujah. You see, what I'm trying to tell you, friend, is this. And if you didn't get anything else, get this, because it'll be worth the admission. You see, the enemy wants to provide you with just enough evidence that you will believe what you see in the world more than what you see in the Word. He wants to provide you with just enough evidence that you will believe the doctor's report more than you believe God's report. That you will believe the lawyer's report more than you believe God's report. That you'll believe circumstances report more than you believe the Word's report. But I'm getting ready to close today. But I can't close without one more story. One more. Everybody say one more.
One more.
David and his men had returned to Ziklag. When they came back, they found their city burned with fire. Yeah. David knew the enemy's protocol was to rape and pillage and destroy everything. All the men, the Bible says, including David, sat down and began to weep, and they wept until there was no more power to weep. All their livestock, their wives, their children were gone. And they even began to speak of stoning David. And David could hear their conversation. Here, this great leader, these men respected, they honored him. But while he was out leading them on a campaign, their families or being stolen or murdered. David could have sunk into deep depression. He could have contemplated suicide. He could have started blaming God. He could have lost his mind. But in the darkest hour of David's life, way down deep inside of him, something began to stir in David. And the Bible doesn't say this, but I think we're at liberty to see this. I believe he remembered the day a lion violated his sheepfold. I just believe. I just believe while he was sitting there, hearing them speaking about stoning him, while he's weeping over his family being taken and all their children, family members being stolen, while he's weeping over them and the fact that they're getting ready to stone the life out of him, I just believe he remembered that things aren't always as they appear. And I just believe that he remembered that the enemy is a master at presenting false evidence. And all of a sudden something happened. The Bible said David encouraged himself in the Lord. Sometimes you gotta encourage yourself. I'm telling you, you may not be called to preach behind a pulpit, but you gotta have a little preach in you. Everybody gotta have a little preach in you. Because sometimes you gotta preach to yourself. Sometimes you got to tell yourself, get back up and keep on going. Don't quit. Come on, it's worth it. You can make it. I believe in you. Don't quit. You're going to make it. It's not that bad. You're going to make it. It's not like it appears. Keep on moving. And the Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord, and then he inquired of the Lord, and he said, shall I pursue? And God said, you shall pursue. And you shall overtake, and you shall surely recover all. Oh, what did you say? I came to tell somebody today that the bad news is wrong. The good news is that the bad news is wrong. And I came to tell somebody today, it ain't over till you quit. And I came to tell somebody, all that you see, it's not like it appears. It's not gone. It's just out of sight. Lazarus isn't dead. He's just out of sight. Joseph isn't dead. He's just out of sight. The lamb isn't dead. It's just out of sight. Somebody in this house today, you're getting a revelation that it's not always like it appears, that there's more to it than what you can see. I'm telling somebody today that behind the rock, behind the stone that's been rolled over the grave and rolled over the tomb and said, this is the sentence and this is the way it's going to be and this is how it's going to end. I came to tell you, behind that stone, the resurrection power of God is at work, and God is moving right now, and miracle power is moving right now, and resurrection power is moving right now. And the good news is, the bad news is wrong. Because somebody tell them, say, neighbor, the good news is, the bad news is wrong. I'm almost done. Just lift your hands one more time. I feel God. Come to the boat. One more time, we're almost done. God, you're doing something in this house right now. Somebody's getting a revelation right now that that devil is a liar. Somebody's getting a revelation right now that your circumstances are lying to you. Somebody's getting a revelation right now that even your body is lying to you. Somebody's getting a revelation right now that the devil is a liar and he will lie to you through your circumstances. Korabaya. I'm almost done. I want you to stand. Go ahead and stand with me. Somebody in this house is getting a faith lift today because we're shifting into the faith dimension. Friend, if you live in the realm of your sight and your feelings, you're going to die. If you listen to the report that the enemy has presented to you, you will die. If you listen to the report that the enemy has presented to you, you will lose. That's why it's a choice. Whose report will you believe? Listen to this. Somebody's getting a faith lift. Somebody's getting ready to shift into the faith dimension. And somebody is getting ready to take back what the devil stole from you. Yeah. One last thought. That devil, that lion, wanted to eat that lamb. Everything inside of his nature, his instinct, wanted to tear that lamb apart and eat it. But God wouldn't let him. And I came to tell somebody today, it's not gone. It's just in storage. What are you telling me? God said to tell you it's in storage. God's been holding it in storage until you can come to a faith in until faith would rise up in your heart and you would go out after that lion and you would fight to take back what belongs to you. God has been keeping it in storage for you. The good news is the bad news is wrong. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands and praise Him in this house. I feel something turning in this house. Come on and praise Him. Come on and praise Him. Come on, praise Him. We're going to turn some reports around today. Come on. Come on, you got a negative report, but we're not going to settle for that. We're not going to settle for leftovers. We're not going to settle for a negative report. We're not going to settle. We're not just going to accept what the devil says is final. We're not going to allow misleading evidence to cause us to doubt God's word. We choose to believe the report of the Lord. We choose to believe we are the healed of the Lord. We are the redeemed of the Lord. We are the blessed of the Lord. We're above and not beneath, the head and not the tail. We are the lenders and not the borrowers. We are more than conquerors through Christ, who loved us and gave Himself for. Come on, just go ahead and praise Him. Just another minute. I feel God turning something. I feel God. Come on, put some pressure on it. Put some pressure. Roll the stone away. Lazarus wants out. Roll the stone away. Lazarus is waiting to get out. He's not dead and decomposed. He's alive and he's ready to jump out. But you got to roll the stone away. Roll the stone away. Oh, I feel something turning. I said, I feel it turning. I feel it turning. I feel a stone rolling away. I feel a stone. Oh, shake a bandage. Shake a tababasata. Mendo kurabasana. Rebo shabada dio kandaya. Reshelobo kurabiasaya. Oh, thank you, God. Adadio Shandaya. Sadadio Kaya. Satarabasaya. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hidabahaya. Kovasikataya. Hindio Shaya. Katio Shaya. For surely says the Lord. For surely says the Lord, I am thy God. And surely says the Lord, I am for you, saith the Lord. And surely says the Lord, I am fighting for you. And I am fighting against your enemies, saith God. Yea, and even though you may not be able to see what is happening in the dark, saith God, know this, I am working. O Katavasai. Know this, I am moving. Know this, that I am overturning verdicts. Know this, that I am overturning judgments. Know this, that I am overturning verdicts, saith God. Oh, Shatavakata. Know this, saith God, that I am working in your behalf, saith the Lord. And the time will come, saith God, that I will turn on the light, saith the Lord. And when you see, then the light comes on, then you will see that I, the Lord, thy God, have not deserted thee, that I, the Lord thy God, have not forsaken thee, that even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, yea, I was with you, saith the Lord. I have been walking with you. I have been walking beside you. And at times, saith God, I have carried you, saith God, or you would not have made it this far. Yea, but hold fast, saith God, to my word, for it shall come to pass that I will turn on the light, and you will see and you will know, saith saith God, that I have been for you from the beginning, and that I have been working a miracle in your behalf. For you shall awake in the morning, and you shall see that the Red Sea is divided, and all you must do is walk across, saith the Lord. Woo! Hallelujah! 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 Kandabohoshai. Sandalabohoshai. Sadabohoshai. Say Allahabohoshai. It was never Moses' job to divide the Red Sea. Just stretch out the rod. It was never those people's job to raise Lazarus from the dead. Just get the rock out of the way. Friend, that's all God is saying to you and me today. Just remove the bad report and look unto me, the author and the finisher of your faith.
I did not know that I'd be able to deliver this word, but I told Terry sitting in our living room yesterday that God gave me a word. And for 3 days, this keeps coming up in my spirit, and this word just verified everything that he's saying. And the Spirit of the Lord told me to say to his people, do not turn the switch of faith off.
Amen.
That was the very word, just like that. Don't turn your switch of faith off. He's getting, I know by the message this morning, he is getting ready to turn this thing. And he said he's going to turn that light on. But you must not turn the switch of faith off. If I go and turn that switch off, that light will not come on. If you turn your switch of faith off, he can't work. It's impossible to please God without faith. Don't look to your own understanding. Don't try to reason everything out. Don't try to figure it out. God is working on the horizon. If you don't turn that switch of faith off, I know it's like a clock that seems to be clicking, and the 12th hour is coming, and you think, and you're ready to throw in that towel because you've been looking with all of your natural eyes and your that natural understanding, and that's easy to do, but that's false evidence. That doctor's report is false evidence. No, it's true. No, it's false. I am the God that healeth thee. Where's the switch? Right here. Your switch is right there. Not your crying. Don't go to God and say, God, it looks like this. It's this. It's that. It's this. But begin to quote that word and declare a proclamation. A proclamation, a declaration of what God says. If it's healing, declare healing. If it's finances, if it's a job, I don't care what it is. Declare what God said. It's not what it appears to be. He's working, I'm telling you. He would not tell. Do not turn off the switch of faith.
Hallelujah. 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 Come on, let's bless him one more time in this house. Come on, let him know you're going to stand true. Let him, oh, hallelujah. Come on, let him know, God, we're not going to turn that switch off. We're not turning off the switch of faith. No matter what it looks like, Lord, we're not going to turn off the switch of faith. We're not going to believe the false evidence that appears real. We choose to believe your report. We choose to believe the report of the Lord. We choose to believe the good news, the God news. We choose to believe your report, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 I feel an infusion of faith in this house today. I feel like God is just, somebody's getting an injection. You're getting a faith injection, glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the spirit of faith today, God. For the spirit of faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what I want you to do? And we're being dismissed right now. What I want you to do is I want you to turn around. I want you to pray for someone. This is our dismissal prayer. I want you to just pray for somebody. Pray for them. Here's what Jesus said. He said, Peter, I know the enemy wants to sift you as wheat. He said, but I've prayed for you that your faith fail you not. I've prayed for you that your faith, the switch of faith, doesn't get turned off.
that you keep the switch of faith on. I want you to pray for somebody today. Pray for two or three people, but pray for somebody that their faith failed them not. Come on, pray for them. Pray for them right now. This is our dismissal. Shalabakata. Pray for them. Pray for them. Hallelujah. Pray for them that they be strong in the Lord and the power of the night. Pray for them that the switch of faith does not go off.
Oh, handaya. That they'll endure to the end and see the glory of God and see the salvation of the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, shandaya.